In the 1920s, James Bernard Schaefer went broke. Now, I personally am lucky to do what I love for a living, telling spooky stories to all of you. It's what we all dream of, right? To make a career out of our passions? And Schaefer certainly felt that way. So when he opened his wallet and found it empty, he decided to turn to one of his favorite lifelong interests, the occult. He founded the Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians, an organization dedicated to metaphysical philosophy, clarity, and enlightenment. That's right, Schaefer's get-rich-quick scheme was to start a cult. To be a member, you had to pay a due of $250, just over $3,700 today. But knowing a hefty fee like that would discourage prospective members, Schaefer rebranded those dues as love offerings, which seemed to work. And what exactly did these love offerings get you? Well, membership earned contributors a certificate from the Inexhaustible Bank of the Infinite in the Universal Mind, payable in ideas and everything desired with no limitations. In other words, a big old box of nothing. Now, while you and I might see this for the scam that it was, plenty of people believed in Schaefer's leadership. By 1930, the Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians had thousands of members, with one source even claiming membership around 10,000. There was even a branch of the cult specifically for children called the Cosmic Network. Suffice to say, Schaefer grew wealthy very quickly. In 1938, he bought a luxurious estate on Long Island, a 110-room mansion that had previously belonged to the Vanderbilts, along with 24 acres of land. Schaefer then transformed this mansion into a retreat for his members, which he named Peace Haven. And look, if it wasn't obviously a cult before, I think the giant headquarters with the ominously cheery name sealed the deal, don't you? Schaefer referred to himself as the messenger, and he offered his followers philosophical guidance. He also dictated their diets closely, which he insisted was necessary for them to reach their spiritual potential. These guidelines were strictly vegetarian, and things like coffee, smoking, alcohol, spices, and condiments were highly discouraged. Seasonings of any kind were off the menu. In addition to advocating for what sounds like the blandest airplane food on earth, Schaefer claimed that he could read minds, heal any ailment, and most alarming of all, dematerialize people or objects into nothingness. But Schaefer wasn't the only one in the organization capable of healing. Anyone could. In fact, the core belief of the Royal Fraternity was that illness, both mental and physical, could be avoided through the mere power of thought. Destructive thinking, Schaefer insisted to his followers, was responsible for all ills and even mortality itself. Yeah, death, according to him, was fully avoidable. All it took was a healthy dose of mind over matter. By believing that we're going to die, Schaefer claimed we are actually bringing it about, manifesting it. Through pure positive thinking, a person could theoretically live forever. Of course, by the time members joined the fraternity, they had already lived long enough to develop their own thought patterns. Thus, pure positive thinking was extremely difficult, if not impossible. If even one negative emotion slipped in, it could ruin a member's chance at immortality. But Schaefer was determined to test this theory. What if, he wondered, you raised an infant under the close, careful doctrine of the fraternity? Couldn't you teach her to think only positive thoughts from the very start, and by doing so, create an immortal? Well, this idea quickly became all too literal. First, Schaefer found a struggling mother, a waitress named Catherine Gaunt, to hand over her 3-month-old infant daughter to the fraternity's care. Unable to care financially for the child, who she believed had a better shot at life with Schaefer, Gaunt agreed. And so baby Jean Gaunt was brought to Peace Haven. Immediately, she was put on a strict regimen of food and activity to encourage her immortality. Her meals were monitored even more strictly than that of the members, fed on something called the Eternity Diet. She was also placed immediately into classes and lectures on metaphysics. Now, in the cult's defense, they knew that she was just a baby and unable to understand these lectures, but they believed that baby Jean would benefit from simply being around great thinkers and somehow soak up the essence of philosophical inquiry. As she grew, these lessons were to continue, with the goal of making her the world's greatest metaphysician. Ultimately, Schaefer dreamt that baby Jean would eventually take over the fraternity and rule it for, well, for the rest of time. And most essential, no mention of illness or death could ever be uttered in front of the child, for all of her life. Again, Schaefer believed that knowing about death and viewing it as inevitable was in part what caused it to occur. So if she didn't know about death, she wouldn't die. Meanwhile, the story of the immortal baby was making quite a stir in the newspapers. Some journalists viewed the experiment favorably, painting baby Jean's life as one of luxury and opulence. The Philadelphia Inquirer, for example, described baby Jean's extravagant life by writing, "When she is able to talk, she will have 50 servants at her command. When she is able to walk, she can stroll through great marble hallways, richly paneled dining rooms. She can gaze her fill at silver chandeliers and gold-plated mantles, or out over perfectly tended lawns." Other papers, however, presented the experiment less favorably, enough so that baby Jean's mother started to grow worried. In fact, the more Catherine Gaunt learned about the fraternity, the more cultish and creepy it seemed to her. And so after only 15 months, she demanded baby Jean to be returned. And since Schaefer hadn't legally adopted her, he had to comply. Now today, through our modern eyes, we can see the classism embedded in this story. A baby delivered from poverty and her mother and whisked away to live like a princess. I'll admit that I felt a sigh of relief learning that Jean had been reunited with her birth family. A family that, for all it's worth, chose not to continue Schaefer's recommended immortality regimen. That's right. As soon as baby Jean returned home, she went back to a normal life. And apparently the first thing she did was start happily snacking on prunes, a forbidden food in the Eternity Diet. By 1940, numerous criminal accusations had been lobbied against Schaefer, including former fraternity members accusing him of conning them out of their money. He was convicted of fraud and sentenced to 5 years in Sing Sing prison. And he lost Peace Haven, which, if you're curious, is now owned by Dowling College. On April 26th of 1955, Schaefer and his wife were found dead in their car, having died by suicide through means of carbon monoxide poisoning. Schaefer was 59, and his wife Cecilia was 55. As for Jean, her mother kept her out of the news after that. Despite some quality sleuthing, my researcher wasn't able to find any record of baby Jean as an adult, nor, most notably, a record of her death, which, as far as I'm concerned, means one of two things. Either she lived out her life under the radar, eager to leave a traumatic period of her life in the past, or that Jean Gaunt, the immortal baby, is still alive. Lore Bites are perks offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes each Wednesday morning. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with writing by Jenna Rose Nethercott and research by Harry Marks, and music by Chad Lawson. Be sure to follow the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.